Okay, this one seems to be working. Tonight, we're going to emphasize decidedly on practical halacha. Normally, of course, but as most good things in Judaism about cooking on Shabbos, there are tremendous, tremendous arguments have been postgame about almost every single aspect of the process. And were we to spend time on all the different arguments, we would never get down to brass tacks in terms of practical halacha. So therefore, we're going to focus as much as we possibly can on the actual halacha as opposed to the theoretical arguments which go behind it, with one exception. We're going to start with the most basic halacha which concerns us. By us, I mean Orthodox Jews. What do I mean by that? We all accept that it's forbidden to cook on Shabbos. If you don't accept that, you really shouldn't be here tonight. So assuming that we all accept the basic fundamental principle that it's also to cook on Shabbos, the next issue which concerns us is the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. And let's see the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos here on the front page, where I have the little bracket here on top. Akira, portable stove of Talmudic times, see figure 1, fueled by straw, may have a cooked pot placed upon it. Fueled by peat or wood, a cooked pot may not be placed until he sweeps the coals or places ash, in other words, banks the coals, which in plain English means the coals have to be covered. Now, there's a very basic question in this Mishnah. The basic question in this Mishnah is, what does the word placed mean? When is it being placed? On Shabbos or before Shabbos? There are two basic alternatives in which way to learn. First, this fellow who brought Rabbi Halpern, who wrote the Sefer, brings out one alternative which is not tenable, and then he brings down two alternatives which are tenable, starting with the second alternative, skipping a couple of paragraphs. The second alternative is also somewhat problematic. If placed as is defined as placed before Shabbos and allowed to remain upon the heat source on Shabbos, which is also the definition of Shehiyah, then the conclusion seems to be that Shehiyah is only permitted when the coals of the fire are swept or covered with ash. Since the section of the Mishnah is uncontested, there would appear to be halachic concurrence with that conclusion. Yet Hananiah, a Mishnaic authority, is cited by the Talmud as permitting Shia over an open fire for food that at least Machol ben Drusoi, one third or one half cooked. This ruling is also not explicitly contested, thereby also implying halachic concurrence. Okay? This is one interpretation. One interpretation of this Mishnah is that it's talking about placing food before Shabbos. And placing food before Shabbos, according to the simple pshat in this Mishnah, would only be permissible if the oven's coals were covered. If the oven's coals were revealed, one would not be allowed to place food, even fully cooked food, on the stove to remain warm on Shabbos. Hananiah, of course, argues with this. Hananiah holds that one is allowed to place fully cooked food on a stove before Shabbos, even if the fire is open and revealed, in order to maintain its heat on Shabbos. Therefore, the Gemara proposes an alternate explanation. Rather than conclude that Hananiah contests the seemingly uncontested Mishnaic ruling, the Talmud proposes an alternate definition for placed, replaced on Shabbos. According to this definition, the Mishnah rules that food removed from Akira may be replaced on Shabbos, Chazora, only if the coals of the Akira were swept with or covered with ash. In other words, according to the second interpretation of the Mishnah is not talking about placing food before Shabbos. Like Hananiah said, it goes without saying, you can place fully cooked food on a fire before Shabbos and leave it there over Shabbos without any problem to maintain its warmth, even if the fire is open and revealed. What's forbidden unless the fire is covered? Taking off a pot and then putting the pot back on Shabbos. Even though the food is fully cooked, it's not going to get any further cooked on Shabbos. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to put it back on the fire unless the fire is covered. That's the way we interpret it according to the second interpretation. Now, the problem is that the Gemara never fully resolves this. The Gemara never fully interprets for us how to approach the Mishnah. We're stuck. Is the Mishnah talking about Shehiyah, putting on the food on the fire before Shabbos, which would be more machmir, because then even Shehiyah requires a fully covered fire? Or is the Mishnah talking about chazara, returning the pot of food to the fire on Shabbos? In which case, to place the pot of food before Shabbos on the flame would be okay, even if the pot was on an open, raging fire. And therefore, we have a machlokas among the poskim. The Sfardim are machmir. The Sfardim hold that even shehiyah, even putting a pot of food on the fire before Shabbos, can only be done on top of a blech, only if the fire is covered. The Ashkenazim are mekel. At least they were mekel until the Mishnah Berurah came along. The Ashkenazim held that one is allowed to place a pot of food before Shabbos on an open flame and leave it there over Shabbos as long as necessary. Along came the Mishnah Berurah and said it's preferable to be machmir, since many great Sephardi poskim, including the Rambam, are machmir. One should be machmir and only do shehiyah over a flame which is covered as well. Okay? That's the basic source for all halacha. Except, we have another question which was brought up by the later sources, the Achronim. The other is the question of interesting halacha, which has really nothing to do with cooking. It has to do with reading by candlelight. There's a problem with leaving a candle on and reading by candlelight, because sometimes you're going to trim the wick in order to get a brighter flame, and by doing so you're going to extinguish it. The question is whether that prohibition was extended to cooking as well. In other words, are we afraid if you leave a fire open that you might come to extinguish it? Some poskim say no. It was only stated by reading. It was never stated by cooking. Other poskim say yes, it also applies to cooking as well. Again, this is not discussed in the Gemara at all. The Gemara Shemi Chava, that you might come to extinguish the fire, is only discussed by reading, by candlelight. It's not discussed by open flame, by cooking. Nonetheless, the Achronim speak about it. And Reb Moshe Feinstein comes to the conclusion, let's turn the page, in the second paragraph of page 2, Rabbi Feinstein of New York, however, prohibits chazara on modern food warming devices to prevent extinction unless some indication in the fire itself serves as a reminder not to extinguish. Even according to this view, however, shehiyah on chazara on modern food warming devices could be permitted under circumstances derived from the oven sealed with clay. Without going into that at the moment, covering the control knobs of a modern food warming device with tape should be analogous to sealing an oven with clay. In either case, heat can be increased, or for that matter decreased, stoking only after an inconvenient process, which serves as a reminder that it is Shabbos. In addition, when the controls are covered with tape, extinction becomes an inconvenient process as well, thereby obviating any prohibition based upon extinction. Now, therefore, Rabbi Halpern wants to say, l'chora, if you accept this, then you should be able to put food on an open fire before Shabbos without a blech. What should you do? Just remove the control knobs. Once you remove the control knob, there's no problem. Because what was the Mishnah afraid of? Why did the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara explains there, why is the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos afraid that you leave a fire open, afraid to allow you to leave the fire open? Because maybe either you'll stoke the coals, in other words, you'll rake them to make them burn better, or, on the other hand, according to that thing we have by the candlelight, maybe we'll come to extinguish the coals. But that doesn't apply if the knob on your stove is off. Right? If the knob on your stove is off, so you can't do a thing. You're powerless. So, lichaira, why do we need a blech? A lot of people use blechs. What for? Once you take the control off, assuming you can do that, that should be enough. And on the contrary, the blech shouldn't help unless you cover the control. And this, by the way, although not many people realize it, it's become accepted as psak, that nowadays we have to cover the controls on an oven or a stove with tape or remove the knob as a condition for covering the fire. Because that's really what can regulate the fire and turn it up and down.
The blech itself is a reminder.
Not good enough. Rabbi Aaron Cutler said you can't rely on that. You have to cover the knob. Rabbi Aaron Cutler, they say, was make, if I recall correctly, was makel that it's enough to cover the knob. You don't have to use a blech. But Lamaisa, it's generally accepted that you have to do both nowadays. And why? One second. Let me just go a step further. Why isn't putting on a tape on the knob enough. So for one of two reasons. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's not enough because, nonetheless, it's quoted here on the top of the next page, that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Moshe Feinstein held that's not enough because it's still mechzei kimevasho. Even though you can't turn the knob, to put a pot on an open fire, that looks too much like cooking. That we can't allow. Therefore, you got to cover the fire. That's one reason. The other reason, which is given and brought down here by Rabbi Halpern, is that also it's become a very strong minhag in Am Yisrael, it's become very strong custom to cover the fire. And since it becomes such a strong custom, it's minhag Yisrael becomes like halacha. We're not allowed to deviate from that minhag unless we have very good reason to do so. So therefore, halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, when one covers a fire for the purpose of shehiya or chazara, one should both put on a blech and cover the knob. Or take it off. There are certain cases, by the way, where the only thing... What? Mixing two things? No, I'm requiring two things. Why am I mixing them? Yeah, that's right, requiring two things. Putting on the blech so it doesn't look like you're cooking, and taking off the knob or putting on tape so you can't come easily to regulate the fire up and down.
Yeah, it was given, as I see it right
yeah.
now. Only because we know that by putting the blech on, that's enough of a simon to tell us that we're...
Putting on the blech is...
You're saying b'zman hazeh.
Yeah.
Right? We're saying b'zman hazeh, we have to tape or cover the control.
We have to do both, right. Because otherwise you can regulate the fire.
You don't even see the fire. But it could have been done...
What? So what? You see the control on the controls how high the fire is nowadays. You don't have to see the fire to know how high it is, do you? On your stove, doesn't it say on the knob, high, low?
I don't feel the fire.
No? Don't you know when you turn it one way or the other way it goes high or low?
Well, you can't tell there's no dial.
Yeah. I mean, you know, turn to the right, it goes high, turn to the left, it goes low.
I mean, we learned before about the playing around with the wick. Yeah.
Wick.
Yeah. So on and so forth. I mean, we can come if you want to come on to that, right?
Yeah.
Low
right. No. I'm going more than that. I want to say more than that because here, not me, but the post came brought down here because here, what in essence was the Gemara's reason to forbid Shia or Chazara on an open fire? Because you might come to turn the fire higher or lower by raking the coals.
Right.
How do you rake coals nowadays?
No, you regulate it with the knob.
That's the point. You rake the coals by regulating with the knob.
But in your... The way you were speaking, it sounded like you were saying that up until this time, it was enough to put a blech on. However...
No, I meant up until modern times.
Up until modern times. Now you come around and say...
Right, because up until modern times, stoves, until the 20th century, stoves weren't run that way. It's a new invention.
How did you stop it before the 20th century?
They put a blech on top. That was all there is.
They
didn't have valves.
But they were able to stroke their, by going into the bottom of the oven, they were able to stroke the coals.
Oh, yeah, they would have to seal the oven door then. That's right. That would be, you're right. If it was like a wood oven which could open up, they would have to seal the oven door.
I missed you here, but I didn't see you mention about sealing the door.
Because it's not brought down here because we're not talking about ovens like that nowadays, but you're right. That's in essence, in the Gemara's case, if you take a look at figure one, right, back in the out of Kira, so you would have to cover the coals which are on the bottom, right? The coals which are on the bottom. Mamashur case, like a wood burning oven. So you wouldn't put a cover on top where the pots are placed, but you would cover all the coals with ashes at the bottom. So the same would be true of a wood burning stove. You'd have to cover the area where the coals are placed. Yeah. Gee, if this is drawing opposition, wait till we get further. Yeah. I don't want to tell you what's a chiyuv, what's not a chiyuv. Then you'll go and quote me and say Rabbi Beckoffer said it's a chiyuv. No, I'm just telling you what a prevalent custom
is. Now I see that people are starting to remove the knobs. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's become more widespread. That's what I'm saying. I'm carefully choosing my words. It's become more widespread and common practice to remove the knobs, and this is the rationale. Whether it's an absolute chiyuv, ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
Taping the knobs
is enough. Exactly, taping the knobs is just good. The black folds over the knobs is just as good as well. Okay? Yeah, you can make a big enough black, that's fine too. Okay, listen, we're very short of time tonight. Let's go on to the next. Now let's learn some general basic principles. And here you have to look at the sheet on the bottom of page 2. There are a lot of basic terms we have to get through. First of all, yatzah lettuce, and I'm going down the list which I wrote out here on the right-hand side. First of all, yatzah lettuce bulb. The definition of cooked in halacha is whenever a liquid or solid reaches the temperature of yatzah lettuce bulb, the temperature in which your finger gets warm, not your finger gets warm, but rather the stomach of a child, of a baby, would become burnt, which is 104 degrees Fahrenheit, 40 degrees Celsius. Pretty low. But that's what we're machmir. We assume that you're not allowed to heat up any liquid or solid to the temperature of yatzah lettuce bar on Shabbos. You cannot allow any food, which is not cooked, to reach that temperature on Shabbos, because then it's considered to be cooked. Okay? 104 degrees. Cooking. Right. Cooking. Now, there are several other concepts which we have to deal with. First of all, when we deal with liquids, there are basic differences in which container the liquid is contained. By solids, all of this is meaningless. But because solids retain heat in and of themselves, halach at least regards solids as retaining heat no matter what kind of a vessel they're placed in. However, in halachas concerning liquids, there's a difference between kli rishon, first vessel, kli sheni, second vessel, kli shlishi, third vessel. Kli rishon is the pot in which, or container, in which the cooking took place. It's also, a kli rishon has two subsets. There's a kli rishon al ha'esh, which is still on the fire, and a kli rishon which is not al ha'esh, which is off the fire. But the pot in which the cooking took place, even after it's taken off the fire, until it's cooled down to room temperature, is called kli rishon. Okay? The next kli, of course, is kli sheni. You take something, liquid, from your urn on Shabbos, you poured it into another vessel, that vessel is called kli sheni. If you poured it into another vessel, that's called kli shlishi. Tonight we're not going to see the distinction, tonight we're going to talk just about kli rishon. But each one of these levels has different halachas in terms of whether it's considered to be capable of cooking or not. Now, of course, if you make an instant soup, right? Everybody knows the tradition soups. If you make an instant soup and you pour hot water from the urn into that soup, even though the cooking is taking place in that styrofoam cup, that's not a kli rishon. That's a kli sheni. Even though that's where the cooking is taking place, since the water is what's doing the cooking, in terms of the water, it's not a kli rishon. It's now a kli sheni. Is that clear? Okay? Since the water was cooked previously, the water in there is a kli sheni. And that'll make a very big difference in terms of whether one can make such a soup on Shabbos or not, which we will not discuss tonight. Now, let's go on to the next issue. There are several types of food. There's not fully cooked liquid, fully cooked liquid which is still somewhat warm, fully cooked liquid which is completely cooled down. And this is important. By liquid, there isn't such a distinction, because a liquid, it's hard to measure in terms of cooking, right? Let's say water. How do you measure cooked water versus not cooked water? So Chazal gave a definition. They said water is considered cooked if it has not reached room temperature after the time when it was heated up to begin with. As long as it hasn't reached room temperature, it's considered cooked. The moment it comes back down to room temperature, it's considered again to have reverted to the status of raw water. Okay? Then we have, of course, not fully cooked solid, and a fully cooked solid, regardless of whether it's still warm or cooked or cooled down, because you can tell the difference between a raw hot dog and a cooked hot dog, even after the cooked hot dog has cooled down to room temperature. The same thing is true, of course, of any solid. Now, one thing I left out here, which I should not have, is that there's a concept. Oh, we didn't. I'm sorry. Let's go later, further down. Now, going on, source of the fire doesn't matter, whether it comes from gas, from electricity. It doesn't make a difference. The only difference might be sun. Solar heat might be permissible on Shabbos. Okay? If you cook something in the sun, you might be able to use it. And this is a good heter maybe to make tea or coffee on Shabbos if you don't have an urn. Maybe you can put the water out in the sun and cook that way. But again, we're not going to get to that tonight. Now, cooking liquid is measured by yatzah lettuce bowl. By that we mean whenever the liquid reaches yatzah lettuce bowl, it's considered to be in the process of cooking, like Rabbi Noble pointed out before. Cooking food is measured by one-third cooked, macho ben drusoi. Malcolm Ben Drusoy was a bandit, and he didn't have time to fully cook his food. So therefore, he used to eat things when they were one-third cooked. That's considered to be the minimum level of cooking, at which point one could say that it has already received the status of ice raw. It's no longer raw, it's already somewhat cooked. Okay? The next thing we have to realize is that, however, if you take something which is a third cooked, and you cook it further, you're still transgressing the prohibition of bishul. Until it's mevushal kol tzarko, until it's completely cooked. At that point, once it's completely cooked, it's harder, if not impossible, to transgress the avera of bishul. It's fully cooked. What are you adding by putting it on the fire again? Okay?
So there's no temperature of any kind of restrictions. Once something is cooked, it's cooked.
By a salad, once it's cooked, it's cooked. That's right.
So they're like, hot dogs are fully cooked when you buy them.
What?
Hot dogs are fully cooked.
Hot dogs are fully cooked when you buy them?
Yeah, a lot of them are fully cooked.
They are? You mean if you buy them at a ballpark?
No.
You buy them at... Really?
Yeah. You can eat them right out of the refrigerator.
They are fully cooked? Really?
So
that halacha would change then. We'll get to that later this evening. Okay? Now, placing any not fully cooked liquid food into a kli rishon is forbidden. If I take, let's say, and now I can't use a hot dog as an example anymore. what?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, if I take, a carrot, which is not fully cooked, and put it into a kli rishon, that's forbidden. Because now the kli rishon is going to cook it. Whether the kli rishon is on the fire, or even off the fire, as long as it's still yatzal lettuce bowl, I'm not allowed to put a raw carrot into it on Shabbos. Okay?
If the item is normally eaten either way, does it matter?
No, not in terms of this. It doesn't matter. Okay? That got by Hilchos Brachos, it makes a difference whether you eat carrots normally raw or cooked, but not in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. Although no prohibition is incurred in placing fully cooked liquids, which are still somewhat warm, in a kli rishon, one should refrain from putting these fully cooked liquids, which are still warm, in a kli rishon ala esh. And the same is true about fully cooked solids. In other words, theoretically, once it's fully cooked, whether it be a liquid or a solid, there's no cooking anymore involved in it. That's it, it's permissible. Nonetheless, one should refrain from putting such items, which have cooled down somewhat, into a kli rishon al ha'esh. When the kli rishon is still in the fire, one should not put cold liquids or cooler liquids or cooler fully cooked foods inside. For instance, a cold lakshin or a cold matzo ball, you shouldn't put inside your soup. Okay? As long out in the kli rishon al ha'esh. Fully cooked liquids which have cooled down completely may not be placed in a kli rishon under any circumstances, nor may such liquids be placed under irui kli rishon. Now this is a new concept. When I pour from a kli rishon into a kli sheni, right? I have my urn, and I'm pouring water from it into a cup from the spigot. The flow which comes from the spigot is irui kli rishon. Irui kli rishon is considered to be mevashel kedei klipa. It's mevashel the outer layer of the substance in which it's being poured. So therefore, I should not put fully cooled down liquids under irui kli rishon. However, I should not put fully cooked liquids which have cooled down in a kli rishon or under irui kli rishon. However, such fully cooked liquids which have cooled down may be placed under a kli sheni or under irui kli sheni. In other words, if I'm pouring from that second cup into a third cup, I can put a liquid which has cooled down into the third cup. Okay? Now, let's say, example of that. Let's say I have cold milk, and I want to put cold milk into my coffee. So I shouldn't put the milk into the cup and then put the hot water from the spigot into the cup on top of the milk. Why? Because that's irui kli rishon on a liquid which is fully cooled down. Rather, what should I do? I should first place the coffee in the cup and then place the milk, first put the hot water in the cup, and then pour the milk on top of that hot water, because then I'm pouring it into a kli sheni and not having an irui kli rishon come down on top of it. Okay? Clear? Finally, cooking following baking or roasting still incurs the prohibition. We have a principle that ein bishul achar bishul. Once I cook something once, there's no cooking again. Once it's cooked, it's cooked. But that's not true about roasting or about baking. If I have challah, I can't put challah inside my kli rishon soup on Shabbos. Why? Because even though the challah has been baked, when you put it into the kli rishon, it's cooking. And although ein bishul achar bishul, there's no cooking after cooking, there is cooking after baking. Similarly, if I have food which was roasted, let's say I have a roast chicken, and I want to put it into a pot, I want to pour gravy on it from a kli rishon, that's forbidden as well. Because the iri kli rishon is going to cook that roasted chicken, which previously was only roasted and never cooked. Okay, so ein bishul achar bishul, but yesh bishul achar tzli, there's bishul after roasting, and yesh bishul achar fia, there's bishul after baking. You put the gravy into a kli sheni and put the chicken in, that'll be okay. Yeah.
There is a bishul after baking.
Yeah.
Then you cannot put bread into a kli sheni even with hot.
No. So that's a question. We can't get to that tonight. But the classic question is, of course, can you put challah into your soup bowl, right? So the pashtus, your soup bowl is a kli sheni. The question is whether the challah is considered to be cooked when it's put even into a kli sheni or not. For tonight, we're assuming that in kli sheni there is no bishul. There are exceptions to that rule, which are kali abishul, certain things which cook very easily. But let's leave that for next week, okay? Now, let's go further talking about kli rishon. And, you know, I have here the topics on the board, and I have them inside the text. If you turn to page 3, you'll see little brackets inside the text as we go along, and those brackets refer to the various different topics. Since it's late, I'm going to try and do most of it outside and do with you inside only when it's important. So you can follow along on the board. Since kli rishon is mevashel, so therefore one can put no spices in a kli rishon al ha'esh. In other words, if you're cooking a soup, and the soup is on the fire, you can't put any sugar or salt in it, right? Because the sugar or salt is going to be cooked. Even if you took it off the fire, if it's yatzo lettuce bowl, you can't put the sugar and salt in as well. Why? Because the kli rishon is going to be cooked. If you're going to cook the sugar or salt, you have to put the salt or sugar, whatever you're putting in, into a kli sheni. Okay? However, although when a kli rishon is mevashel, one may place cold food in proximity to a fire, as long as one is sure it's not going to reach out to lettuce bowl. In other words, let's say Shabbos morning, you're taking the chicken out of the refrigerator, which you want to serve, and you don't want to serve it at 30 or 40 degrees, whatever temperature is in the fridge. You want to serve it at 70 or 80 degrees, room temperature. So you're allowed to put it next to the fire, as long as you're sure it's in a place where it's not going to reach out to lettuce bowl. Not on the blech, but in proximity to the fire. Now, for a child or a chole, you're even allowed to put it in a place where there's a possibility that it might reach yatzo lettuce bowl, as long as it's not your intent that it should reach yatzo lettuce bowl. Why that distinction? Because a dover shena miskavim, and when a malacha might be incurred, but it was not my intent, it's only usur midrabana. It's only forbidden on a rabbinic level. And therefore, midoraisa, I could put the food right near the blech, even in very close proximity, even if there was a good chance that it would become yatzo lettuce bowl, if that wasn't my intent, because it's davar shenei miskavim, something which I didn't intend. Chazal asur it. Chazal said it's forbidden. But for a child, or for a chole, for a sick person, Chazal were lenient. And therefore, for such a person, you can even put it in such proximity that it might reach yatzo lettuce bowl.
When you say you're putting it on a blech, you mean that?
Not on, next to the blech, not on the blech. Next to it, sorry. Next to the blech. Only next to the fire, not on the fire.
What about a covered, take a piece of chicken out of the refrigerator?
We'll get that later. We'll get that later. When we get the platot.
Right now you just come up, it's an open piece of chicken?
Yeah.
That you can only put it next to the blech.
Next to the blech, okay? Now, one may transfer food on a fire from one pot to another. In other words, let's say you have on your blech, you have your chulent, and it's in danger of burning. It's getting dried out. You're allowed to pour water from an urn, which is also on the fire, a hot tea kettle, into the chulent pot. Because they're both hot, they're both yatzo lettuce bowl, they're both cooked. And therefore, you're allowed to pour from one to the other, even on Shabbos. If the fire is covered, even if the pot is... this, of course, only if the fire is covered, right? You can only do this if you have a blech on it. If this condition is met, that you can even pour into a pot which is dried. That's a very interesting thing. Why am I saying that this is a chiddush? Because once your chulent is dry, it should be considered to be what? Baked or roasted. Right. Baked. So therefore, it's baked or roasted. L'chayra, it should be forbidden to put hot water into it. Why? Because yesh bishul achar tzli, or yesh bishul achar fiyah. There is cooking after baking or after roasting. So why is it permissible? Because it was already cooked. Right. Before it became dried out and roasted or baked, it was already cooked. So since it was already cooked, therefore, the principle of ein bishul achar bishul, there's no cooking after cooking, still applies. Now, one may use a spoon or a ladle, but not a cup or a plate. In halacha, we're going to see this many times, a spoon or a ladle very often has the halacha of the kli rishon itself. Since a spoon or ladle is placed into the pot, so therefore, it receives the halacha of a kli rishon. You cannot use a cup. In other words, you can't pour from your hot water urn into a cup, and then from the cup into the cholent. Has to be what? No, you have to use a ladle or a spoon, or pour directly from pot to pot. Okay?
But
we'll get that later on.
I thought you couldn't do it with a ladle or spoon. No. That would consider that a Katie Mission is only a
kula. What?
But here you're using it as a kula.
It's quoting from the Shmir Shavs Kilchasa. Yeah, you can use it. In this case, I assume because since the liquid still remains yet to lettuce bow inside, therefore it's concerned going from pot to pot, therefore we're makel. Yeah, you're right. In other cases, we only do the chumra, but here we're using the kula. Since the entire time it's also over the fire, you're never removing it from the surface, from the area of the blech, really, never putting it somewhere else down, so I guess it retains the loch of kli rishon. But I'll tell you, perhaps there's even a bigger chiddush. One can pour food Friday night from a big pot into a small pot which you take out of your cupboard for tomorrow morning. Which, let's say you're having the same food Friday night and then Shabbos morning. You have cholent Friday night. So you can take from the cholent pot Friday night, as long as you never remove the pot from the fire and put it on the ground or on the table, you can take from that cholent pot cholent and then pour the remainder into a smaller pot which you leave on the fire for the next morning.
Even
put the small pot on the fire during Shabbos, that's right. Now the thing is, all these things which we're using to transfer, whether it be a ladle or a pot, have to be fully clean and dry. Because if they're not fully clean and dry, then whatever's in the new pot or in the new ladle is going to become cooked itself. So you have to use a perfectly dry and clean ladle, a perfectly clean and dry pot. But under those conditions, you can make the transfer, it's okay. Now, Now we have to start talking about chazara. We haven't talked about shehiyah yet, I know, about putting on the food before Shabbos, and we were not going to speak about that till next week. But now let's talk first about chazara. The most basic principle of chazara is that no chazara can be ever done to an oven. Once you open up an oven and take food out, you can't put food back in. That's it. Chazara can only be done to a stovetop. And not only that, but
can
if it...
It would be chazara from an oven to a blech.
An oven to a blech? I didn't see it discussed explicitly, but papashas you can. If it's going back, if it's not cooled off in the meantime. If an oven with not fully cooked solids within it opens on Shabbos, it can't be closed again. Because when you close the oven, what are you doing? You're restarting the cooking process. When the door opened, the cooking process at least partially stopped, because cold air got in and all that. Now when you close the oven door, you're restarting the cooking process. That's forbidden to do on Shabbos. So if the food was fully cooked before Shabbos, and then the door came open, so then you can close the door, because it's just retaining heat, just causing it to remain warm. But if it wasn't fully cooked, when it became open, the cooking process partially stopped. Then I'm not allowed to close it again. Yeah.
What about if you could see the fire is still, the fire goes off and on in most ovens?
Yeah, we're going to come to
the fire's still on, you open the door. You're not causing it to come on.
Yeah, we're not. We'll come to that later, okay, when I get to gas stoves, okay? Yeah.
I thought you mentioned that once it's yassa lettuce, so that the cooking process is continuing.
What?
Even if you open the door,
yeah,
it's still yassa lettuce, the cooking process is still going on, isn't it?
I'm not sure what you're asking. A fully cooked solid? Fully cooked solid, sir. Fully cooked solid. Where am I allowed to close the oven door? Where am I not allowed to close the oven door? Where it's not fully cooked.
Even if it's
Even Tziatza Lettuce Bowl, because by solids, it has to, since it continues to cook, so therefore even Tziatza Lettuce Bowl doesn't do any good. What?
I mean, if
it's going to continue cooking, therefore it's awesome.
I mean, if it's not fully cooked.
Now, the question of Chazara only applies when something is totally removed from the fire. By that I mean, let's say you tipped a pot on the fire, but part of it still remained on the fire. That's not considered to be removal. The question of chazara, under what circumstances permissible to return the pot to the fire, only is when you fully uprooted the pot from the fire. Okay? No, that's what we're going to come to. With those conditions, we're going to, now, there are five conditions which must be met in order to be allowed to do chazara lechatchila. In other words, to allow yourself to do chazara before the fact on Shabbos, you have to meet these five. You have to be prepared to meet these five conditions. And let's see them inside. If you turn to page 4, they're at the top on the left. The first condition is intent. Okay, I'm going to Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey. The first condition is intent, that at the time that you remove Shabbos Shemasiro, when you remove the pot from the blech, you have to have intent to put it back. The second condition, Beis, you're not allowed to put it down at all. You must hold it in your hand. But you're allowed to put it down on a table, or any other dry place, but not on the floor. As long as you continue to hold it. In other words, let's say it's a very heavy chulin pot. So then I'm allowed to rest on the table, but I can't let go of the handle. I always have to hold the handle. Okay? One hand is really enough. Gimel, Sha'esha Gabel Yachzir Zakli, the fire on which you return the pot, Tiemuchuse has got to be covered. Ayde asbest. When the Shmir Shabbos Kechos was written, they were still using asbestos. Or any other substance which you don't normally cook on, a tin plate or aluminum, whatever it is, which is just meant to retain the warmth, not to cook on, etc. Okay? So it's important that the flame be covered. And here the Shmir Shabbos Kechos in the footnote there, where the asterisk is, gives a very not covered before Shabbos, you're allowed to cover it on Shabbos itself. You can put a blech on Shabbos itself. Okay? If you forgot to put it on, you can put it on Shabbos. And you have to make sure, though, that it's the type of blech which is not going to become white hot when it's on the fire. Because if it's going to become white hot, that'll raise a problem. What? That's a problem cooking the metal. Right. Not cooking the food, but cooking the metal. Dalit. Reb Shlomo Zalman is very interesting. Chumra, I forgot. In the footnotes, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that once you put a blech on Erev Shabbos, you shouldn't adjust the flame again. This is a chumra. It makes sense. Why shouldn't you adjust the flame? Because if you adjust the flame up, it shows that you do cook on top of blechs. So therefore, once you cook the blech on, you shouldn't touch the flame to demonstrate, at least symbolically, that a blech is never used for cooking purposes.
That's why you cover up your nap.
What?
That's why you're covering your ceiling, your nap.
Yeah, I'm saying, but even, well, let's say you stick your knob back on and then you turn it.
Before
Shabbos.
Before Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's why you seal your knob.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you put your blech on, adjust it backwards or forwards, however you want to do it. Seal.
No, but so you're saying you should adjust it before you put on.
I hear what you're saying. So, no, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds like now the fact that you're taking it up is ludicrous.
Why?
Because that's the reason why I'm doing it, is in order to avoid making a bigger or smaller fire. That's why.
Yeah, but you could. I mean, Lamaisa, let's say you could. So, it's telling you don't. You're right. It's a symbol. Blech is supposed to remind you not to do it, but it's before Shabbos. So you say, well, I know it's supposed to symbolize I'm not supposed to do it, but it's supposed to symbolize I'm not going to do it on Shabbos. It's still a weekday. Let me hop a Ryan and let me change the flame. So Shlomo Zalman says a chumrah to avoid doing that. All right, look, it's only a chumrah here. Shlomo Zalman himself says it's not an impediment. Dalit. In order to return the food back to the flame, it's got to be fully cooked. Because it's not fully cooked, like we said before, when you put it back on, you're again joining in the cooking process. And here comes a chumra which Rav Moshe disagrees with. And Rav Moshe, this is a famous machlokes that Rav Moshe finds in Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Tavshu mavushal kol tzarko, a pot which was fully cooked, Shanim Tzozbo at Somashal Oaf, which has chicken bones inside it. Asher Im Ro Bishul, which when they get very, very well cooked, Hemis Rachakos, they become soft, Uriyos Lachila, and become suitable to eat. Yesh Lachpid, you have to make sure Shagam Bain Tienem Ushol's cold circle, that they're fully cooked, Uriyos Lachila, and are ready to eat before you're allowed to take the pot off the fire and put it back. Now, it was a big nafkamina, because that means in Eretz Yisrael, where they make the chulent very often with chicken, for that matter, chutzah, if you make the chulent with chicken, then Friday night, it's not necessarily, the bones are not necessarily that soft. They're going to get soft in the course of the night. So therefore, if you took the chulent pot off the fire, you wouldn't be able to put it back. And that's what Shlomo Zalman is banning here. But Moshe Feinstein said you're allowed to do it, even though the chicken bones are going to get softer. Why? It's a machlokas b'mtzias. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman feels that people do eat the chicken bones. And Rav Moshe holds that people don't eat the chicken bones. So therefore, Rav Moshe holds that even if their chicken bones are going to get softer, it doesn't make a difference, and people don't eat them anyway. So that's what the machlokas basically hinges on. So if you want to take your chulent off and it has chicken in it Friday night, then make sure that you don't eat the chicken bones. Okay? The next and final condition is Shatav shul yeh adayin cham b'miktsas. It's still got to be at least somewhat warm. Klomar shloni tzayin gami. In other words, that didn't go totally cold. In other words, that while you're holding it, or while you had it down on the table and were holding it on the handle, that all that time it didn't fully cool down. Because once it fully cooled down, even though it's fully cooked, you're not allowed to put it back on the fire. Okay? Now this is all a chatchila. In other words, before the fact, when I come to take food off the fire, I have to be prepared to meet all these five conditions if I intend to put the food back. What happens if I forgot to meet all these five conditions? I'm holding the pot in my hand. And oy vey, I didn't fulfill all the conditions. What is the b'dieved requirement? So the b'dieved requirement is one of two things. Even if, you know what, let's see it inside. Good test. B'shas ha-tzorech, in other words, it's a case of necessity. Efshar la'akel la'achzir kli al'esh mikra ha'boim, you can put it back on the fire in the following cases. Aleph, one. Im yiniach ha'kli al'gabi shulchan o'kisei, b'bli la'achzik bo, even if I put it down on a chair or on a table, not on the floor, without holding on to it, v'husha b'dayto la'achzir al'gabi esh, but I had the intent to put it back on the fire, or vice versa, im hichzik al'kli bi'odo, if I was holding on to the kli, kanal b'siv yudches, like we described in yudches, afim lo yo b'dayto la'achzir al'gabi esh, even if I didn't have in mind to put it back on the fire. In other words, l'chatchila, I have to meet both conditions A and B, in other words, that I have to have the intent to put it back, and that I have to have held it. B'dievet, even if I meet only one of those conditions, either that I had intent or that I held it, it's okay. As long as, of course, the next three conditions are met, which are that it's fully cooked and that it's warm and that the flame is covered. But b'dievet, even if I only had either intent or held it, not both, that's okay. What happens if I'm really up the creek? Super b'dievet. That if I don't put this back on the fire, I'm not going to have any food to eat for the rest of Shabbos. So in that case, let's see inside, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. U'b'dievet. Haynu kasher mishum akpod ala nemar b'sif akoydim, that if the conditions in Sif Yutes must be met, lo yelo ma'achal cham l'Shabbos, you won't have anything hot to eat for Shabbos, yesh makom, there is room, l'hakil, to be lenient, u'l'hachzir z'akli agabesh, and put the pot back in the fire, gami me'nichum yodo, even if you put it down, v'lo yelo b'dayto achzir b'esh, and you didn't have intent to put it back in the fire, as long as it meets the next three conditions. So in super b'dieved, if you're not going to have any other hot food, if you don't put this back, then even if you didn't hold it, and even if you didn't have intent to put it back, you can still put it back on top of the fire. So the three levels of gradation. There's the chatchila, how you should approach it to begin with, which is to meet those five conditions completely. The b'dieved, in which either condition A or B must be met, but not both. And super b'di'evit, if you're not going to have any other hot food on Shabbos, so then even if conditions A and B of intent and being held were not met at all, you can put the food back on the flame, on the covered flame. Okay? Now, when you do chazara of a fully cooked solid or liquid, it's permitted even to move it to a greater flame, assuming that flame is covered. By that I mean, since it was fully cooked, even though before it was on, let's say, your burner, which is the smaller burner, or the burner which is turned down more, you're allowed to move it to the part of the blech which is the hotter part. Hi, it's going to get hotter. Doesn't matter, because it's not going to get more cooked. Because it was hot, and it was fully cooked. So the degree of heat which it reaches is immaterial. Since it passed the proper threshold, I can move it on the blech from one flame to another flame as well. Right? As long as the whole area is yatzel lettuce, but let's say it's not even on a fire. Let's say, you know, people have large blechs, and they cover areas which are not sitting directly on top of a fire. And Friday night, when you arrange your pots on the blech, so then you arranged it in such a way that there were some pots which are off, not directly over flame. But nonetheless, they remained yatzel lettuce bow over Shabbos. So then on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to move the pot even from an area which is not directly over a flame to an area which is directly over a flame. If all else fails, if you can't reuse any of these heterim, there's a special heter which will come back to several times in the course of the evening, the double pot heter. You can put even food which is totally cold, as long as it's fully cooked, on top of another pot. In other words, you can put one top on top of another pot. Okay? And here too, let's say you forgot to meet any of the conditions for chazara. Right? As long as you know it's not going to be, as long as you know that... what? Yes, even the chatchila. Right, but it's not going to get hot. It's not going to get fully hot. That's the problem. But that's why it's permissible. So in that case, you can put the one pot on top of another pot. Let's see that inside here. In Chav Gimel, is that the first place where he brings it down? I think Chav Gimel is the first place where he brings it down. If the flame goes out, Shagder Agaba, on top of which was the pot, Yossi Mosai, you should put that pot, in which there's food which is fully cooked and is still somewhat warm, Agabi Kdera Acheres Shiyesh Bo Tavshil, on top of another pot which has food within it, Via Gabesh, which is on top of the fire, Urehe Lalon Siflu Vilam Vav, we'll come back to that later. Now, let's turn the page now to page 5. We'll try and do most of this outside. Platot. Platot are, it's not an American word. In Israel, everybody has a hot plate. What's this? Plata is a hot plate for Shabbos. Why do they have this? Because an electric range is the same thing like a revealed fire. If you have a coils, electric coils on top of your stove, that's a revealed fire. Those coils are fire just like regular fire is fire. But a hot plate is considered to be a covered fire, because the elements are covered. Now, not just because the elements are covered, because nowadays they make newfangled stoves in which you don't see any elements in an electric stove. They have ceramic tops and all sorts of other tops. Those are all considered to be real fire. In a plata, since there are elements, but they're completely covered by metal, that is considered to be covered fire. And therefore, that meets the requirement of a blech, even without a blech. Okay, is that clear? That means you're requiring the blech leave without a blech. And the big question, which is open for debate, which we're not going to resolve tonight, and I frankly don't know the resolution, is what the status of a crockpot is. Right? Because a crockpot also has elements, the ones with removable inserts. Crockpots have elements. The elements are covered. Is that considered to be like an electric stove? Or is that considered to be like a plata, like a hot plate? And I haven't seen anybody discuss it explicitly. Now, it's not to say where it has a knob. When it has a knob, you have to tape the knob. What? You put aluminum foil on it. It's a question of whether you have to put aluminum foil on. Yeah, but that's a question whether you have to do that. Yeah. They turn on a cracker before shops leave it on. But that question? Yeah, that's a question whether you have to put it on aluminum foil inside it in order to, as a blech on top of the between the insert and the thing itself. So in any event, but where there's a knob, you have to cover the knob. Like we said before, the adjustable knob. Yeah. Warm up, food on top of another food, yeah.
What if you pour Shabbos on top of a pot, it's not chilled, on top of a glass,
yeah.
For the purpose of warming up for the next day?
That's okay too. We'll get to that. That's okay too. Yeah, you're allowed to put. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. Now I don't even know if we'll get to it tonight anymore, but it's on the agenda. Okay? Okay, so now hot plates are considered to be covered fire. Nonetheless, and this is my focus between the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa and Rav Avadi Yosef. The Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa holds that, based on sources, of course, again, we're not going to get into the sources tonight, that you can't take cold food from a fridge. And the classic example is a piece of schnitzel. That's what they all talk about. You can't take a piece of schnitzel from the fridge, which is cold, and put it on top of your hot plate on Shabbos. Something which is fully cold, completely cold, you can't put it on the hot plate, according to Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, Rav Avadi Yosef is Meikel. He says you can take something which is even completely cold and put it on top of a hot plate on Shabbos. Because that's not considered to be cooking. But we're machmir, the Ashkenazim, like the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, and we do not take food which is completely cold and put it on the hot plate. Put it in close proximity so it'll warm up to room temperature, but not on top of the hot plate.
Again, you're talking about an uncovered piece.
What? An uncovered piece of missile. Right.
You're not going to give the answer to the
crock pot
idea?
What? The answer to crock pot idea? No, I don't have an answer. What I do, I used to do it, I myself used to do it on the basis of a rabbi's psak. I used to put stuff in a crock pot without aluminum insert. Then somebody told me, yeah, but in Brooklyn, they're machmir. So I went back to the same rabbi, a distinguished rabbi, very chush of a place, and he said, well, I guess it's worthwhile being machmir. So there is no, it's a shiloh which has no explicit resolution as far as I know. Of course it's very practical. So now I put aluminum foil in the crock pot between the insert and the wall. Yeah, plus a piece of tape over the control knob. Or cover the control knob with the foil. Okay, that's the minuk. One can put the plate on a Shabbos clock. By that I mean, you have to have the food on, I don't know when this is relevant, but you have to have the food on the plate all Shabbos. You can't put the pot of food on in the middle of Shabbos, but you can have the Shabbos, the plate itself on a Shabbos clock to turn on and off. Why you do that, I don't know, but that's permissible to do. On Yontif, you know, on Yontif one is allowed to turn up the fire, right? Because for cooking, one is allowed to do malacha on Yontif. Electric ranges, though, are problems. Because some electric ranges, and it depends what kind you have. Some of them have, I forget what the fancy word, not fancy, but the word for the electric thing, the capacitor? No. Yeah, but there's whatever turns up the heat. Sometimes the same coil becomes hotter. The rheostat, right. Sometimes the rheostat turns the same coil hotter. Sometimes, however, the way it works is that one coil shuts off, the smaller coil shuts off, and the larger coil turns on. So in an electric stove which is constructed that the same coil becomes hotter because of the rheostat, then you could turn it higher on Yontif. If one coil goes off and another coil turns on, that you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Because you're not allowed to turn off things on Yontif. Only b'derech grama, only in a roundabout way. Yeah.
There's also a problem if the light is
going to
go on your stove.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, if the stove has a light, that's right.
It's a down period.
That's right. Right. If you have a light as a stove, of course, that'll cause a problem as well. Now, what about gas stoves? Closing the valve of a flame that is out is okay. Yeah. With the little light business? Yeah.
Because that's another problem. I mean,
yeah.
If there's, when you say the light, then what is the light? You're talking about that there's a thermostat. Then you have a problem if you don't have a light, yeah. Less that you're turning it off and on.
I'm not sure, I don't have an electric stove. I'm not sure what the light does exactly. Yeah.
See, that's an indicator.
But, yeah.
That's an indicator that's what's working. That's okay.
But there are some stoves, though, that the light will go off and on.
I don't know. I don't want to say because I'm not sure how it works.
You couldn't use that.
Yeah.
If there would be a light,
all right. In any event, let's go back to a gas stove. Closing the valve of a flame that is out is okay on Shabbos. In other words, let's say the wind blew out your flame or something like that. So then you have gas coming out, right? You're allowed to turn off that valve. Now, why is it shaila? Because the valve itself should become, the knob itself should become muktzeh. Right, because it's a klishem lachta laser, you do other things with it. But even muktzah, you're allowed to move under certain conditions. A, in a case where the muktzah is causing a danger, it's causing a nezek, possible damage to life and limb, so you're allowed to move muktzah, and that allows you to turn the knob. Besides, there's a halacha that even muktzah, if a muktzah is disgusting, it's a graf sharei, a bucket full of excrement, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos as well. So this gas which is coming out is disgusting, despite besides being dangerous, and therefore you're allowed to turn the valve off and on. What? Turn the valve off, not on. Sorry. What? Yeah. No, but you're allowed to move. That's going to prevent the graf sharei, the bad smell, which comes from the gas. So that you're right. It's not the same thing as a classic bucket of excrement because it's two separate things, but it has the same idea. Yeah. You can put it back on in order to turn it off. That's right. Now, one is not allowed to use an oven, a gas oven, at all on Shabbos. Why? Rav Shlomo Zalman says that he checked with experts. The gas stove thermostat is very sensitive, and it goes on and off very, very easily. So therefore, you're not allowed to use a gas oven at all, because anytime you open the oven door, you might be causing it to kick on or kick off, and that's forbidden. So therefore, yes.
I have an indicator light that I installed into my gas stove. I know when it's on, I know when it's off.
You have an indicator light, and it doesn't, but isn't there a chance when you open it up that it'll go off momentarily?
Yeah. If that light is on,
yeah,
then I know that the...
So you'd be allowed to take stuff out, but there's no chazorah permitted into an oven. You'd be allowed then to take stuff out when the indicator light is on, but you wouldn't be allowed to put stuff back in, because chazorah is not permitted into an oven. Okay, so taking out stuff would be permitted.
So if you can see these fires burning, you can open the door.
Yeah, unless you have the type, in certain ovens, when you open the door, the fire would come out, the fire will go out, and then go on again. So you have to check it out on a weekday a couple of times to make sure that when you open the door, it doesn't go out and then come back on again. Okay, on Yotam, of course, it's okay. Now, let's get to the next topic, which is mixing and removing. I see I won't be able to finish all I wanted to do tonight, but we'll try and do at least mixing and removing, and pot on top of pot will leave for next time then. You're not allowed to mix not fully cooked food in a Kli Rishon on Shabbos. In other words, even though, as we will see next week, that you're allowed to leave a food which is not fully cooked before Shabbos on the stove to continue cooking on Shabbos, as long as it reached Machol Benjus. Well, there's certain conditions, I'm not going to get into conditions because it'll get too confusing. But even though one is allowed to leave food which is not fully cooked on a stove from before Shabbos to cook on Shabbos, one is not allowed to mix it. Because mixing is direct bishul. When you mix something on a stove, it causes it to cook further. That's forbidden under any circumstance. Okay? It's adding to the bishul process, it's forbidden. Even if it's fully cooked, what should be machmir not to be mixing on the fire. Okay? Even if the food is fully cooked. However, not only should one be machmir not to cook it, not to mix, one shouldn't even remove food from a pot on a fire when it's full, even if it's fully cooked. By that I mean, you shouldn't serve soup out of your soup pot on the blech on Shabbos. You should take it off the blech or pour it into another vessel. I'm sorry. Even taking off the blech is not going to be enough. You know what? Let's see this inside because this is very important. I don't want to make any mistakes here. At the bottom of page 5. So anyway, see this page 5. V'ichmiru chachameinu zal, chachamim were machmir, lamed beis. V'asu sabchisha, they forbade mixing, even af betavshu shemavushu kol tzorko, even if the pot is fully cooked. V'chein esot also me'akter b'ezra sakli, and you're not allowed to take food out of the pot with a ladle, kasher akter omedes al gabei eish. When the pot is on the fire, afil mechusa, even if the fire is covered. Ketzad yase. Well, how should you do it? It's hard to take it out if the pot is covered. Ketzad yase, what should you do? Yosir esakdera min ha'ish, take the pot off the fire, ha'mechusa, off the covered fire. Yachzi keno biyado, hold it in your hand. Yotzi menu k'dei tzorko, take out as much as you need. Bezos akli with a ladle, or yishmach menu tokar, also pour into your plate. V'shuv yachzi esakdei l'mkoma, and then put the pot back in its place. Assuming you're going to be makbid on the conditions of chazorah. Let's say you're not allowed to put the fire, the pot back. Why? Because there'll be a problem with Chazara because you didn't use a blech that Shabbos. You forgot to use a blech. So then, yesh mokum lahakel, then it's a b'dievet situation. You can be lenient in that case. Ulhoti is a mina tavshu b'kafu meitzekes and take with a ladle or with a cook or with a spoon from the fully cooked liquid or solid on top of the fire. B'tnai sham nam tavshu yem mavushal gold circle as long as it's completely cooked. Okay. If you use a crock pot, you shouldn't be where you have to take the insert out and pour out of it. That's right. You know, in Baltimore, when I was in Baltimore, they used to raid the chulin pot every Friday night. It was a very elaborate ritual because they had to take they had to take it out and they had to hold it up. Two people used to, because the chulin pot for all yeshiva. Two people used to hold it up. Another person used to take the ladle, and then they asked to put it back in the oven. It's a very elaborate ritual. Yes.
They put it back in the oven.
You're right. You got me there. Since they put it back in the oven, it must be that certain conditions, Chazar is mutter in an oven, and I made a mistake before. I'm not sure exactly what the conditions are. Yeah.
An electric oven.
Yeah.
So you have to wait for the light indicator to
be on? Yeah, same thing.
Because
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Does it patch this? It would be a problem. It would seem to be a problem because if there's any chance that the thermostat can kick on when you open it, so you have a problem. I mean, even maybe if you know your oven that well that you know it's not going to go on, so it might be okay. But that's going to be very subjective depending on who's running the oven, for what purpose, and what temperature. No, even to take it out. Right.
I'm talking like you. My child is in there taking
yeah.
Friday
yeah. Right. I'm saying you're going to have to know your oven very well to make sure that you have not a shadow of a doubt that it's going to go on at that time. Yeah. Water is different. Water we're more lenient with. Water we're more lenient than we even allow. For some reason, mixing water doesn't have the same effect as mixing food, and therefore one is allowed to directly take water out of a pot which is on the oven, assuming it's on the stove. Again, the serving ladle must be clean and dry to make sure nothing happens to the serving ladle. Now,
okay, if you have a blech and you move the pot to an area where it's not over the fire.
No, same thing. Doesn't matter. That's all considered to be part of the fire now, the blech. The entire blech. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to move things back from one part of the blech to the other part of the blech. So as long as it's on the blech and yatzel lettuce bow, even if it's not directly over fire, it's also.
When you say water is different.
Yeah, water, you can stick a ladle into the urn and take out water, but only water, not soup or anything like that, right? A corollary of this is one may not cover a pot of non-fully cooked food which is on a fire, because covering also enhances and speeds and increases the cooking process. Even fully cooked food, he brings down here, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, should only be covered with a clean cover when it's off the stove. In other words, not fully cooked food can't be covered at all. You can't even lift up the pot, cover it, and put it back down. If you have a fully cooked food which you want to cover, you should pick up the pot off the fire, put on the pot, the cover, while it's off the fire, and then put it back on the stove. Water that is not yatzoled, and this is halacha, which I don't think is very relevant, but it's brought down, and we'll end with this. If you have a pot of a kettle on the fire, and has water which is not yatzoled in it, so then one is not allowed to remove any water from that pot. Why? Because then by diminishing the amount of water in the pot, the water which is left is going to get hotter quicker. And they're going to get hotter, and it's going to get hotter quicker. So therefore, that's considered to be cooking in and of itself. So therefore, you can't remove any water from that pot on Shabbos. We'll stop here for tonight.